The two of them checked upstairs in the barracks, where there was a living room, and behind a plain blue curtain, a dorm-style bedroom that contained four cots. Andy Colucci was watching a sitcom on television, and a couple of troopers who had the graveyard shift were snoozing. Sandy could hear the snores. He pulled back the curtain to check. Two guys, all right. One of them going, "Wake, wake," through his nose, polite. The other going, "Ronk, ronk, ronk," through his open mouth, big and rude. Neither of them was Ennis. Sandy hadn't really expected to find him there. When Ennis cooped, he most commonly did it in the basement supply room, rocked back in the old swivel chair that went perfectly with the World War II-era metal desk down there, the old cracked radio on the shelf, playing dance band music, soft. He wasn't in the supply room that night, though. The radio was off, and the swivel chair with the pillow on the seat was unoccupied. Nor was he in either of the storage cubicles, which were poorly lit and almost as spooky as cells in a dungeon. There was a total of four toilets in the building, if you included the stainless steel lidless model in the bad boy corner. Ennis wasn't hiding out in any of the three with doors. Not in the kitchenette. Not in dispatch. Not in the SC's office, which stood temporarily empty with the doors open and the lights off. By then, Huddy Royer had joined Sandy and Kurt. Orville Garrett had gone home for the day, probably afraid that Ennis's sister would turn up in person, and had left Mr. Dillon in Huddy's care, so the dog was there, too. Kurt explained what they were doing and why. Huddy grasped the implications at once. He had a big, open Farmer John face, but Huddy was a long way from stupid. He led Mr. D to Ennis's locker and let him smell inside, which the dog did with great interest. Andy Colucci joined them at this point, and a couple of other off-duty guys who had dropped by to sneak a peek at the Buick also joined the party. They went outside, split up into two groups, and walked around the building in opposing circles, calling Ennis's name. There was still plenty of good light, but the day had begun to redden. Kurt, Huddy, Mr. D, and Sandy were in one group. Mr. Dillon walked slowly, smelling at everything. But the only time he really perked and turned, the scent he'd caught took him on a beeline to Ennis's gremlin. No help there. At first, yelling Ennis's name felt foolish. But by the time they gave up and went back inside the barracks, it no longer felt that way at all. That was the scary part. How fast yelling for him stopped feeling silly and started feeling serious. "Let's take Mr. D into the shed and see what he smells there," Kurt proposed. "No way," Huddy said. "He doesn't like the car." "Come on, man. Ennie's my partner. Besides, maybe old D will feel different about that car now." But old D felt just the same. He was okay outside the shed, in fact started to pull on his leash as the troopers approached the side door. His head was down, his nose all but scraping the macadam. He was even more interested when they got to the door itself. The men had no doubt at all that he had caught Ennis's scent, good and strong. Then Curtis opened the door, and Mr. Dillon forgot all about whatever he had been smelling. He started to howl at once, and again hunched over as if struck by bad cramps. His fur bushed out like a peacock's finery, and he squirted urine over the doorstep and onto the shed's concrete floor. A moment later, he was yanking at the leash Huddy was holding, still howling, still trying in a crazy, reluctant way to get inside. He hated it and feared it. That was in every line of his body and in his wild eyes, but he was trying to get at it just the same. "Oh, never mind. Just get him out," Kurt shouted. Until then, he had kept hold of himself very well, but it had been a long and stressful day for him, and he was finally nearing the breaking point. "It's not his fault," Huddy said, and before he could say more, Mr. Dillon raised his snout and howled again. Only to Sandy, it sounded more like a scream than a howl.